Lou Manfredini here. Do you have cracked or sunken concrete areas around your home? Call PermaSeal for a free estimate. Don't replace it, raise it. Call 800-421-7325 or visit permaseal.net.
720 WGN with John Landecker, 836, welcoming Rich Lenkoff back to the show. He's, of course, an attorney and co-host of Legal Face Off on WGNRadio.com. Glad you're back on, Rich. Thank you for coming on.
Whenever I hear that theme song, I long for the good old days of Mackenzie Brackman, Cheney, Kuzak, and Becker. I remember the episode where they added Arnie Becker as a partner.
Yeah, L.A. Law. Boy, yeah. Good one. I just picked that because it's like a theme from a law show. I didn't realize that you knew it. That's nice. Nice recollection there. So,
do you remember the famous episode when the one of the lawyers fell down the elevator shaft to kill her? That was like,
yeah,
you know, went viral before there was such a thing. But anyway.
Yes. And now we're going to launch into a discussion of TV attorney shows. No. Yes. Okay, so, boy, I got a lot of stuff here. I did mention a few things earlier. This United Airlines, Delta Airlines class action lawsuit, which sounds almost like, how could something like that possibly happen? Can you explain this thing a little bit?
Yeah, it kind of sounds funny, but there's a new class action lawsuit that was just filed yesterday against United Airlines in California and Delta in New York by passengers who paid extra for window seats that they allege in reality have no windows because of the way the airline is designed. I'm sure most of us have had this experience where you're by the window and, you know, you're kind of in that between area where there's kind of a window, kind of not a window. And the claim is that the airlines are engaging in deceptive practices, false advertising, that the passengers would not have paid extra for a seat described as window if they knew it didn't have a window.
How long have they been doing
that? Sounds a little silly.
Yeah.
Sorry, go ahead.
No, how long has that practice been in place? I mean, I've flown recently. I don't remember any category of pay extra for a window seat. I didn't even know they did such a thing.
Yes. I mean, I think it's been probably, at least 15 years where you pay extra for a premium seat. And of course the airlines, you know, many perceive them as nickel and diming. They will charge extra for everything, including seats. You know, maybe access to a bathroom is next,
okay.
But it allegedly, you know, affects three specific types of aircraft, and there's potentially a million passengers who are affected. You know, they're arguing that this is just another money grab by the airlines, and they are again engaged in deceptive practices by promising something and then not delivering it.
I get that part. I just never had the experience of saying, hey, I'm going to pay you for this. I want a window seat. And they go, okay, here's a window seat. And I go, not really. I mean, I know I've had the thing of, do you have the capabilities of being able to handle whatever emergency happens if you get to sit in an exit row, which not only has the window, but, you know, leg room and the whole and all of that. But I've never thought about the windows.
Well, you know, John, some passengers claim that it's more than just a preference, that being near the window helps them with anxiety get over their fear of flying.
Okay.
On the other hand, you know, I'm sure some people who are scared of flying don't want to look out the window, maybe for fear of, have you ever seen that old Twilight Zone episode with William Shatner where goblin on the wings.
Well, and all those and those airline windows have shades you pull down. I don't know if you call them shades, but yeah. I mean, whatever. So what's the next step with that? That mean there's not going to be anything. Have the airline said anything?
No, not yet. They haven't responded. It was just filed yesterday, so I expect will, you know, they will fight it because it's, you know, potentially millions of people. Or they will probably settle it. It doesn't look, you know, they're very conscious of their brand, obviously, and any litigation is expensive. So maybe they'll offer frequent flyer points or who knows.
Moving on to some far more well, not to say that it's not serious, but a judge giving the Trump administration and Florida a partial victory in the alligator Alcatraz case. This has to do with people who are taken into the alligator Alcatraz, whatever you want to call it. I mean, I don't want to give it a name that it doesn't deserve, but it has to do with being able to get a hold of, being able to talk to an attorney, doesn't it?
Yeah, this is, of course, the temporary immigrant detention center Everglades that have been called Alligator Alcatraz. Civil rights attorneys sued the Trump administration and the state of Florida. They were looking for an injunction for a couple of things. I mean, they're claiming that the environmental impact of this facility on protected grounds such as the Everglades means that they should stop operations. And also, to your point, the second allegation is that the detainees were not given access to lawyers, thereby violating their First Amendment rights. So what the court did is they ruled, there was a third allegation also, that they there was no jurisdiction over these detainees. So they threw out the Fifth Amendment allegation about jurisdiction. They said that they could move the lawsuit to a different part of Florida, so that's no longer an issue. As to the First Amendment, that was a partial victory. They did rule that some of these detainees were not being given access to their lawyers, so that is a victory for them. As to the environmental question, that still remains in front of another judge in Miami. So, you know, there's lots of different parts of this these lawsuits, some of which have not yet been decided.
Yeah, but a lot of the things that I thought, at least that I took for granted, don't seem to be granted anymore. The right to an attorney, that kind of thing, it just seems to be sort of ignored, glossed over. Maybe they'll forget about it. And I thought that was a pretty rock solid part of our system, was a right to an attorney. But I guess that might be something that's wavering. Would that be a correct observation?
Well, you put your finger on the key question, right? The Constitution guarantees due process. Yeah. What you're talking about is due process.
Right.
And it says that it guarantees due process rights to all persons, not just citizens. So,
right.
You know, those in favor of detainees' rights say that these are people, these are persons under the Constitution. Those in favor of giving them less due process say that, well, they're not citizens and they don't have the same rights that citizens do. So that has yet to be decided by the Supreme Court. That will be eventually how these cases are decided.
Well, okay. But I mean, there's no... As I understood it, the way you were describing it, there's nothing in the Constitution that says you have to be a citizen to have access to these rights.
Exactly true. It says the words person. And ironically, if you are a, you know, sort of diehard conservative, typically those are people who believe in the strict construction of the Constitution, John, meaning that you read the very words of the Constitution as the framers wrote them, not as you interpret them today. Okay. Ironically, those who are typically conservative would argue that due process is afforded to all persons. Yet now, today, staunch conservatives and MAGA supporters are saying the opposite, that we're interpreting the words of the framers differently, that we think persons meant only citizens, not all persons. So it's kind of ironic. Well, yeah. Hypocritical.
Can I throw in a question here, John?
Let me take a quick break, and you can. We come right back, all right? Well, yeah. Here on 720 WGN. Don't go away. 720 WGN with John Landecker in the midst of conversation with Rich Lankoff, attorney at law. And David, you were going to ask something?
Rich, I have a question for you.
Yes, sir.
What leads you to believe that the Supreme Court, based on some of the decisions that they have made over the last 2 years, is necessarily going to follow along with just what the words say without this, what did you call it, strict constructionist thing? Because I've always thought that was kind of an odd way to approach it.
No, I don't, actually. I think you're right. I think that if they were true conservatives, if this majority, which we know is a strong pro-Trump 6-3 majority, he appointed three of them, then they would do what generally the Scalia school of conservatives do, which is believe in strict construction, which means read the Constitution as written. Don't interpret what people would look at today. Don't think, well, the framers would think differently today. That's generally what Republicans, what conservatives do. That's what they did in, you know, many prior decisions. However, I believe, to your point, that today, because of who appointed them, they would say, well, forget that principle of strict construction. We are going to interpret the Constitution differently. And even though it just says the words persons, that's what the framers wrote, therefore that's what they intended probably, we are going to interpret that as meaning only citizens get due process. I believe that's how they're going to rule.
And of course,
it's hypocritical, right?
Of course it is. And it also folds directly into somebody's campaign for the presidency,
correct,
which was totally correct, based, well, not totally, but there was a whole bunch of stuff about immigration, 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 immigrants, immigrants, immigrants. They're doing this, they're doing that. And guess what? This sort of helps that viewpoint along. It sort of ushers them away from the Constitution into some sort of never-never land that doesn't really exist except in somebody's political campaign.
Correct. And I don't think there's any doubt that when Trump picked these three individuals from a list for the first time submitted by the Federalist Society, that this wasn't part of the vetting process, that he wasn't aware that this issue would come up, and he knew that when push came to shove, they would interpret the word persons to mean only citizens.
Yeah. I'm just curious. Five of the six majority, actually, all sat in front of the Senate Judiciary Committee, and they all said that Roe Wade was in the category of stare decisis. Settled law, done. Not a problem. You'll never hear a word from us on it. Then, when the court gets to where it is now by membership, suddenly they now want an abortion case. And they got what they wanted. And they turned around and went, they decided it wrong. It goes to the states. Huh?
Well, it depends on whatever folds into what the, let's see, what's the terminology I'm going to use here? Whatever enables the...
Yeah, but they said that it was decided law. It was settled.
Yeah,
so,
well,
Rich, they went ahead and just said, you know what? I think we want to do something different. And they went ahead and they did it. And they tossed Roe Wade.
Yeah, the Dobbs decision is what you're referring to in 2022. And what a shocker. They said something on the record to get appointed, and then they changed once they were on the bench. No one was surprised by that. I agree with you that, you know, it kind of shocks the conscience to say that they would not change what has been bedrock precedence for many years and then went ahead and did it. And by the way, it took a case that wasn't like that generally wouldn't be taken for a couple reasons. But yeah, that's what they did. That's what they did in a lot of different situations. You know, once they were on the bench, they reverted to simply following what the right wing part of the Republicans wanted and what Trump appointed them for. So, yeah, that's the way it is. And that's why, you know, you've heard it before. Elections have consequences, most significantly at the Supreme Court.
You know, we're going to run out of time here, Rich. I'd love to be able to continue this, but there just isn't time. And I think there's going to be plenty of opportunities down the road to see what parts of the Constitution are still viable and what parts are under attack and what's right and what's wrong. But thanks for being with us. And don't forget Legal Face-Off with Rich on WGNRadio.com. Thanks for being with us. Have a good night, okay? Thanks.
It's always a great honor. Thank you so much.
Oh, you bet.